You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Sorry, Drew, but you've already said to us in a private text message between the three hosts here that if Hutchinson is available to the Lions at 2 and they don't take him, Drew will cut off a very important piece of himself and throw it into the river. So I don't want that to happen for Drew's sake.
Well, I mean, I'm sure that the Lions have given you so much heartbreak throughout your life that, I mean, this is going to be
you can handle it.
the least of it.
On black bat stats in the pocket, whole squad fast cash. Send the bookie, tell him bring it from the bag. No, we coming for the bag. West Coast, 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 West Coast
around the world. Let's get ready to gamble. My name is Tony Cavallo. As always, I'm joined by Matthew Dangles, D'Angelo Antonio, Schaefer the Sharp, Drew Shaver Crookson, and we are the West Coast Gamblers, a proud member of the Evergreen Podcast Network, the only gambling show that makes you money, and the NYX Award winners for gold medal in sports podcasting, yada, yada. We are very excited today because we get to talk about one of the NFL holidays. Thursday, April 28th is the NFL draft, and today we are teaching you how to bet that very NFL draft. We are each giving out a fast five at the end of the show with our best bets that you can take right now to make money at our friends at DraftKings on the first round of the NFL draft. But before we get there, we have a man coming on this show who came on last year and gave out some winners. The Hitman is returning to talk about the NFL draft. Schaefer the Sharp, I know the Hitman is a friend of yours. How excited are you to have him back to help guide us through this wonderful day?
I'm not on Hitman's payroll, guys. I'm going to give him a free plug here, okay? I'm a proud member of his private Discord email chain. And yes, it is subscription-based. But I'll tell you something. Since I started that in the middle of last season, I have learned more and won more than any other time in my life. And the guy's transparent. He works harder than anybody. He moves lines and he's awesome. Just great, great, great knowledge and great mind. Good buddy of mine, the Hitman. Can't wait.
Can't wait to talk to him. He's coming on soon. Schaefer the Sharp, your Detroit Lions have two picks in this NFL draft. Tony Cavallo's Green Bay Packers have two picks in this NFL draft. Dangles, you're sitting there at number 21, the New England Patriots. Are you still excited, or do you just know in your bones that Bill Belichick will find some way to trade out of Thursday?
A little of both. I mean, I don't know if he's going to trade out. If anything, I hope he trades up. Realistically, I don't see it. I think he sits at 21, probably takes someone defensive like a linebacker and does the Belichick thing where, you know, he knows exactly what everyone in New England and Patriots fandom wants him to do. And he just goes ahead and, you know, takes a guy from FCS or Division III or something. And that's just what we're going to do. So I can keep my fingers crossed. I did a mock draft where we traded up with the Ravens to take Drake London. That's a dream scenario, but we'll see what happens on draft day. I'm excited either way to get some extra help from Mac and that defense.
I'm excited. The Hitman's in the waiting room. We'll have him in a second. Again, the fast five for our bets are coming up next. And then on Monday, the return of the best mock draft prognosticator in the United States of America, Brian the Ballerina Balzerini, original host of this podcast, will be coming on for the Ballerina Big Board that's coming on Monday. But right now, it's the Hitman, and he's coming up next.
Dub C to the G, West Coast Gamblers.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
All right, boys and girls, once again, we are graced with his presence, the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be, Mr. Hitman. I don't know why I called you Mr. Hitman. He is the Hitman, at Hitman428 on Twitter, giving out draft picks and NFL futures. And I saw recently some NBA award futures that you've been hitting on as well. Welcome back to the show, my friend. Happy to have you here.
I appreciate that. Yeah, the Tyler Hero, Sixth Man of the Year. Boy, I don't say this often, but that was one of the worst prices. Even at the time, I was saying to everybody, I said, you know, this should probably be like 3-1, and it's priced 12-1, 14-1, something like that. So I got a lot of extra money to hopefully turn into some more money with the NFL draft coming up this week.
That's what we're hoping to do too. And we had you on last year for the NFL draft, and you help us sort of guide our bets and our listeners' bets in that last year's draft. But this year's draft is a completely different beast, in my opinion. Last year's draft, we kind of had segmented out who the first 1, 2, 3 at third pick was San Fran. We knew what position they were going with. And then after 4, it kind of became a shit show. This draft itself, there's a lot of people saying Aiden Hutchinson's number one, but there's a lot of chaos in this top 10. This draft can go a million different ways. There's no real surefire first-round quarterback that is a locked-in selection. I'm very interested to see where the NFL teams go, but it makes me wonder, where should I put my money? Do you see this draft as a little confusing, or are you seeing through the forest through the trees, so to speak?
Yeah, this is probably the toughest draft that I've ever handicapped in the 5-6 draft set I've done. And not to say that it's not beatable, because if you put in the work, you're just flat out going to win at the NFL draft. But the thing that's made it a little bit harder is, like you said, there's no clear number one. There's no clear number two. It's not a great quarterback draft, probably the worst quarterback draft that we've had since probably the EJ Manuel draft from years ago. And yep, what that does, and especially with the fact that it's just not an elite prospect draft, is it adds to the variance of this draft. I know that Daniel Jeremiah on his podcast today even said that so many of these players are so closely put together that in the last 7 spots from 25 to 32, he's like, I could think of 30 names that could possibly go in the first round. So when you get something like that and there's more variance in a draft, it tends to be harder to bet on. But as I said, the draft is a once-in-a-year great money-making opportunity. Now, the hard part about that is that the books know what a great money-making opportunity it is too, and they've made it even harder this year to be able to get down on this stuff. There's less options than I feel like there's ever been before at this time. But, yeah, just to reaffirm your point, tougher draft than usual, but still a good money-making opportunity.
Hitman, I gave you a free plug in our intro. Told people I was a proud member of your private Discord. Couldn't be happier with your service. You do an excellent job. And last week you kind of hinted at there might be a little value in Trevon Walker going number one overall. You, of course, said things are subject to change, but you said you saw value at the number. Since that, the number has predictably got closer to even. I think at time of recording, it's plus 190. A week out, let's just call this a clean week out of the draft, as a huge Detroit Lions fan and a massive University of Michigan fan, you can tell who I want to be available with the number 2 pick. His name is Aiden Hutchinson. How do you see, let's forget about the book odds right now. What are Hitman's odds right now to go number 1 overall a week before the draft?
Yeah, it's funny you said that about Aiden Hutchinson, because I've mentioned before that when you get to be pretty successful at this, you tend to make some good contacts, and these contacts tend to have good information. And I've been told a lot of Trevon Walker stuff going first, and I wasn't just told that recently when he was 2-1, 3-1. I have some 15-1, some 12-1s on Trevon Walker way back in the process, and that's what I've been hearing. Now, nobody has told me it's something definite. Like, if it was definite, I would have as much money as humanly possible on it, obviously. I don't, but I do have a nice sized wager at a bunch of different prices on Walker. You see a lot of the national media guys are kind of saying now that Trent Baalke envisions Alden Smith in Walker, and that they think that might be the guy. So, I mean, I think Walker should be a favorite right now. But wow, again, like I said, the draft is something that hey, I could say I like Walker a lot, and all it takes is one report from a respected guy like Jeremiah, for example, to say, if Jeremiah says, you know, I'm pretty confident Hutchinson's going to go one, well, I'm probably going to start buying some Hutchinson. That's just how it's going to be.
Well, and the Jaguars, too, are they're an organization that can surprise you. Like, to your point about Balky, like, they'll go – last year it was a no-brainer, right? Like, any team would have wanted to take a shot at making Trevor Lawrence great. And this year they're in a tougher position in a sense, I think, because they have more options and it's not so clear-cut necessarily who would potentially go first. But Balky likes guys who are big and physical, and I think I've read and I've heard that, you know, his tendency is to – value that over guys that produced in college. So I'm interested too. That's my kind of big flag for the Jaguars, is like, don't be surprised if they surprise you with that first pick, because that's just the kind of organization that they are.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. And then when you talk about the Lions, well, you want them to take Aiden Hutchinson. It's crazy because I know that some sharp people with a lot of money crashed that Thibodeau market to go second overall yesterday to the Lions, to the point that he's the odds on favorite right now to go number two overall. So, you know, I didn't tail along with that, even though I did have some stale prices out there, because I did hear the info from these guys, and you know what, maybe they have better info than what I've heard, and maybe it's going to happen. I definitely don't want to bet against it, but logically, it does seem very unlikely that they would pass on Hutchinson if he's available at two. But
Drew's already said, sorry, Drew, but you've already said to us in a private text message, not the private Discord that Hitman is a part of, but the private text message between the three hosts here, that if Hutchinson is available to the Lions at two and they don't take him, Drew will cut off a very important piece of himself and throw it into the river. So I don't want that to happen for Drew's sake.
Well, I mean, I'm sure that the Lions have given you so much heartbreak throughout your life that, I mean, this is going to be,
you can handle it.
the least of it. I mean, one of my best friends growing up is a Lions fan since I've known him for 20 years. He's been a Lions fan forever. And I've been with him through the three receivers in a row drafts and the Joey Harrington era and the 0-16. I mean, I feel for you. So I wouldn't go crazy after this, because you've already been through a lot.
Well, I appreciate that, Hitman. And that leads to my other question. So obviously you said the Thibodeau market crashed at two. In all these mocks, you know, Kuiper, Jeremiah, McShay, obviously the hardest thing to predict in these mocks are the trades, right? I mean, who the hell knows when these trades start happening and a domino effect goes. In your mind, in this year's draft, obviously talking specifically the first round, who are the most likely teams to trade? I don't need to repeat all the wide receiver narrative all offseason, obviously record-breaking deals, all these third-year guys wanting to opt out for better contracts. But, you know, you see Kansas City and Green Bay with two elite quarterbacks who literally traded their number one options and have two picks in the back end of the first round. It seems so logical that they would move up to try to get one of the big guys. I know you like Jameson Williams, who's coming off a torn ACL. But I'm looking at Carolina at six, Hitman. And, you know, they're the first team I can see logically trading back. Do you have any teams that you're targeting that you think are viable to trade, or can you not really handicap that in this whole process?
Yeah, it's tough to handicap, especially because it's such a weak quarterback class, and typically teams will trade future picks to move up for a quarterback. So it's tough to handicap that. I would say that I agree with you on your Panthers logic, because it does appear like these quarterbacks are probably going to fall, and none of them are worthy of the sixth pick in the draft. And especially with Carolina not having a second and third round pick, you could logically see them moving back in the draft, picking up a second rounder maybe, and then selecting the quarterback of their choice. So that makes sense. As you mentioned, you could maybe see Green Bay with two seconds and two firsts, Kansas City with a boatload of picks. If there's a receiver that they like, they could look to move up to get him. But aside from that, it is a very tough thing to handicap. And specifically for this year, it's tough to handicap because of the lack of quarterbacks and just the lack of overall top tier players in this draft.
Speaking of those quarterbacks, because I think I need you to talk me off a ledge here. This has been my favorite bet that since I've been looking at these for the NFL draft, and obviously no one else seems to think this way, but quarterbacks obviously run the NFL. This is the EJ Manuel draft once again. No one is really worthy of that first round pick, but you just know someone's going to reach out and grab their guy early because they want that quarterback. They want that new face of the franchise. And my favorite bet out there is Kenny Pickett to go in the top 10. I think Malik Willis is a better quarterback, but with the Carolina at 6, and also with New Orleans making that harebrained trade with Philadelphia, now they have two picks in the teens. They could move up again with those picks. Am I an idiot for thinking Kenny Pickett top 10 of the draft at plus 135 is a good bet, or should I stay away altogether?
Yeah, I disagree with it. I'm sorry to say that, but
that's why you're here, Hitman.
That's right.
I was actually looking at some Kenny Pickett overs personally. Now, I will tell you, I didn't bet that, so it's not like I'm strongly disagreeing or anything, but I just think that this is a quarterback class that, you know, a lot of times in the betting market and the media, they'll try to push the quarterbacks in mock drafts. They'll try to push the television time on the quarterbacks because that just tends to drive ratings. It tends to drive clicks. People want to hear about the quarterbacks. But at the end of the day, it's going to be tough for one of these franchises to take one of these quarterbacks early when you just do not have a top 10, top 15 grade on them. And I've read some scouts that have said about Willis, they say, hey, there's no chance that he could play in year one. Like, you're taking a project if you select him. With Kenny Pickett, I've heard, you know, he's a gamer and all that, but he's just in another draft. Like, for example, if he was in last year's draft, he'd probably be the fifth or sixth quarterback taken in that draft. So, I mean, there's a chance. The Carolina connection does make sense because Matt Rhule is desperate. He recruited Kenny Pickett to play at Temple. I don't think they will take Malik Willis because he is not in all likelihood ready to play year one. And Matt Rhule does need somebody that could save his job. And Kenny Pickett is more ready for year one. So to be honest, if you did feel strongly about that, I would just look to playing a Kenny Pickett to Carolina prop instead of playing in the top 10, because I have a hard time seeing any other team that's desperate enough to end up selecting him in the top 10.
See, that's exactly why you're here. Before we ask you on any specific bets that you like for the draft, I do want to ask, I know you said there isn't as many of different bets you can make in this year's draft because the sports books are getting more intelligent, but is there, when you open up that board or whatever, we have a lot of listeners who probably haven't even opened up the NFL draft bets you can make. Is there anything specific you like to look at first? Like top 10 picks, player position specific, teams to draft a certain position. Is there anything you sort of like to attack first because you think the numbers are better or based on any knowledge you have?
Or maybe for like new bettors as well, you know, maybe betting just got legalized mobile and, you know, in their state and they want to dive into the draft for the first time, but they don't really know where to start yet. Like zooming out, I think also would be good to know kind of, I'm interested in that.
Yeah. You want to stay. Yeah. Typically me and what I recommend for others is you want to stay away from like the, who will be the seventh overall pick? Who will be the eighth overall pick? Who will be those type of long shots? They're just very tough to predict. And especially in this year, like even for example, Houston at third overall, you could logically say, well, they could take Evan Neal. They could take Ekwonu, Gardner, Thibodeau. Oh, there's so many people that could go to them. And it's like that with a lot of teams picking early. And typically those markets have a lot of hidden vig into them as well. So that's probably the one I would stay away from. But what most interests me is the over-unders. That's where you'll make the most money, in my opinion. And I do think that if you're a recreational player, you want to avoid the what position will a team take first, because you're just it's such a juiced market. There's so many options. It could be nine different positions. You want to stay away from that. But for someone that's a pro and that's really looking at this, I love that market because I feel like that with my research and my knowledge on it, that I can overcome that vig and I can do a better job than the bookmakers at figuring out what positions teams are going to target. I took the other day Dallas at 2-1 to take an offensive lineman with their first pick. Yes, there's a ton of hidden vig in that market, but it's just something that I priced closer maybe to plus 130-ish because Dallas has been pretty open about the fact that they need an offensive lineman after Lyle Collins left in free agency, Connor Williams left in free agency. And they've pretty much openly said, hey, unless we get a Micah Parsons or CeeDee Lamb situation where it's a can't-miss prospect that falls to us where we just end up taking best player available, offensive line's probably going to be at the top of our board. So little nuggets like that, you could take advantage of a market like that. But in general, I would recommend staying away from it and just looking at the straight wagers.
The knowledge tree blooms once again. I love it, my friend. I love it. All right, let's get into any bets that you really enjoy with this NFL draft. Even if the market has moved a little bit on you, you have a better number on. Is there any bets that you're sort of giving out or ready to give out on this NFL draft? We are a week away from it.
Yeah, I gave out Kyle Hamilton at 6.5, over 6.5 about a month ago. It went to 8.5. I bet that. I actually bet 9.5 as recently as a few hours ago. Wow. That one shop. I just keep betting it. And it's just everything you look at is saying that he's going to fall. And Daniel Jeremiah, who I've obviously referenced a bunch during this podcast.
He's great.
And he has Hamilton as his fourth overall player. He's high on him. And he says, you know what? That's the guy that's probably going to fall. I don't think he's going to go in the top 10. And to be honest, I really think that 11 to Washington is probably the most likely fit for him that I can foresee. But yeah, that's the guy right now, over 9.5, over 10.5. I just have a hard time. Safety's really not a premium position in the league. Yep. Right now. Seattle at 9, they're not going to take him. They don't need a safety. The Jets at 10, ton of other needs. They need a safety, but ton of other needs. There's no speculation at all about them going safety. It's more about wide receiver and interior player. So I think that Hamilton, anything over 10.5, is a pretty solid bet.
I love you, Hitman. You just locked in one of my later bets. Thank you.
You also took one off of my prospective board.
Hitman, we'll let you go very soon. I wanted to say one thing. You did also, it's okay to say what you gave out, right?
Yeah, that's fine. A lot of the markets moved on all that stuff.
If you want the good stuff, though, you got to go join Hitman's Discord.
Oh, and again, highly, like, free plug. Hit him up. He's the best. But you gave out receivers over 5.5. I think we priced it at -200. I think it's the best bet this whole draft, easily in hindsight. I mean, again, nothing is a for sure thing, but I would pay $2 to win $1 any day of the week. I believe that's going to happen. And as of today, the market has moved. Wide receivers over under is 6.5 now. Now it's right at -110. However, doing my mock, I still have 7 in the first round. I know the value is gone, but given what we've seen in the wide receiver free agency market, and like I referenced, Kansas City, Green Bay trade their number one options, having 2 picks late in the draft in the first round. Do you think 6.5 still holds a little value? Can you see 7 going in the first round?
It's a straight pass. I mean, I'm very confident it's going to be either 6 or 7. So I just think it's 6.5. They're pricing it correctly. But it just goes to show the value that in the NFL draft, it's not like a half point in the NFL where it's worth 10 cents. A half in the NFL draft, a full in the NFL draft from 5.5 to 6.5. is absolutely ginormous. It's not probably the fair price on over 5.5 right now is probably something like -400, -450 or something. And then obviously 6.5, I think, is the correct number with -110. So it just goes to show that if you can get that extra spot, don't be afraid to lay juice in the draft. The draft is the one event that I will lay big juice. I laid -700 the other day on Jameson Williams to go in the first round, and I bet it pretty big because it's just gonna win. That's really the fact it's just gonna win. So I'm not afraid to lay the juice. So the draft is one of the ultimate events that just do not be afraid to lay big juice on something that you know the probability is there that it's going to win.
I love it. I love it. Well, thank you once again for joining us for this NFL draft breakdown. We have the Fast Five for this show, where each of the hosts giving out 5 bets you can take for the NFL draft coming up next. But first, again, you can find Hitman on Twitter at Hitman428. Join that private Discord. Get these numbers before they get moved. Thanks once again, my friend, for joining the pod. We learned a lot, and I've already crossed some stuff off my board.
Appreciate it, guys. Pleasure being on, and have a good draft.
West Coast Gamblers.
Hey there, and welcome to the
Joy of Paddle podcast, hosted by me, Minter Dial, a veteran of the paddle tennis world, and sponsored by Paddle 1969. Whether you're a paddle tennis aficionado, just beginning, or have never even heard of paddle, or padel, as it's called in North America, this is an exhilarating new show that delves into the captivating stories of notable paddle personalities worldwide. In its inaugural season, you'll be treated to exclusive anecdotes, valuable tips, life lessons, and humorous moments shared by esteemed professional paddle players, industry insiders, and passionate paddle enthusiasts. With each season aligning with the Pro Tour, you can anticipate 2 engaging episodes per month. The Joy of Paddle podcast is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network, where you can find other great shows in a number of categories, such as sports, health and wellness, true crime, and fiction. To find out more about Evergreen Podcasts, go to www.evergreenpodcast.com. Vamos!
All right, boys, we have all the knowledge from the hitman himself. We also have Brian the Ballerina Big Board coming out on Monday morning where he goes through his mock draft, and the three of us might have a little insight on what that mock draft is to help us shape our Fast 5 bets for the NFL draft. Cannot wait to dive into this. No time wasted. Dangles, what's your first bet of the Fast 5 for the 2022 NFL draft?
Ooh, oh, boy, here we go. Okay, my first bet for the draft is... and I talked about this guy earlier. I'm going Sauce Gardner, top 5 at minus 115. I am so high on this guy. I think he's a lock for the top 5. You got position needs potentially for the Lions. He is a Detroit native. I could see him going there. The Texans need literally any living body that has played a snap of football before in their entire lives. I could see him going to the Giants there at 5. And the Jets, obviously, at 4. We talked about that. So I love Sauce Gardner in the top 5 at minus 115.
I'm also going top 5, and this is something I wavered on for a while because of how much he's moved in people's mock drafts. But Evan Neal, I think, is the best tackle available, and I have him going top 5 based on what Hitman said. T5 for Evan Neal, minus 115. That's my first bet of the day. Schaefer the Sharp.
I want to jump ahead of you, Tony, because I had my first bet was Sauce Gardner to go to the Texans at 3rd overall plus 400. After the Hitman gave us that knowledge, I decided to scratch that one out. So I'm going to join my man Dangs and say, Sauce Gardner, best cornerback in the draft, absolutely will be a top 5 pick. Dangs, that is a winner, minus 115. Give me the sauce!
I love it. I love it. Dangles, pick number 2.
Fuck it. Let's do it. I'm going to take Drake London in the top 10 at minus 105. Yeah. I just think it's a size-speed combo that's really hard to pass up at the wide receiver position. You don't get a guy that's built this way coming out of the draft every year. I think he's going to be hard to pass up. You've got the Texans and the Jets with 2 picks. The Falcons are all in need, and it's just you can't teach his size and athleticism. So let's go Drake London minus 105 in the top 10.
I'm joining the top 10 battle, Dangles, and I'm going with a guy that I don't know if it's the correct pick, but I'm taking him anyway. People like capability over what you've done in college. Derek Stingley, top 10 at minus 110. There's too many teams with 2 picks that need defensive help, and Sauce Gardner can't go to every team. Derek Stingley, top 10, minus 110 is my second pick. Drew, what do you got?
I'm going to take an over here, guys. Hitman talked about he likes his over-unders, and we're going to go to our boy George Karloftis, defensive end for Purdue. He's been falling off boards, down boards a little bit, guys, because of his inability to finish sacks. He can get to the quarterback, can't quite finish. His over-under on DraftKings is 19.5 right now. It's a little juice to the over. I'm going to take the over, saying he will not be a top 19 pick. George Karloftis at minus 125, over 19.5 draft positions. So 20 or higher.
All right, Dangles, pick number 3.
Well, I was on the fence about this one coming into our show today, and after listening to our show with Hitman, it confirmed it for me, and I am going to go to a position total here. My first position total, hint, hint, foreshadowing, nudge, nudge. I'm taking under 2.5 quarterbacks in the first round. That's a plus money bet at plus 190. So, you know, it is a bit of a risk, but this is just one of those gut feeling bets for me. I just don't think teams are going to go out of their way to take a quarterback in this first round. I think if anything, you see Malik Willis and you see Kenny Pickett potentially go in the first round. I'm not sure teams are going to take a gamble on a Sam Howell or a Desmond Ridder or a Matt Corral in the first round. So plus 190 for under 2.5 quarterbacks in round one.
Dangles, that was exactly my fourth bet with my third bet leading into it, but I'll give it away now. Under 2.5 QBs, plus 190. I wouldn't put the full unit on this because you got plus 190. You can put a half unit, make some money on the back end. I will say that plus 190, I just think is the wrong pricing for this. If this was even money, I would take the over 2.5 QBs for some chance that somebody sneaks in those late 20s and takes their Lamar Jackson of the future. But because it's plus 190, I'm right there with you. I don't think the talent is there. I like the under 2.5 as well. Schaefer the Sharp, your third pick.
Well, guys, you heard Hitman say it's a complete pass. Wide receivers over 6.5 first round. He did give that out at 5.5, and I grabbed it at minus 200. Like I said, the number has moved to 6.5 now at minus 110. I'm looking at my big board. It's going to happen, guys, so I will give it out. I'm going to give over 6.5 wide receivers taken in the first round. Know that you didn't get a good number here, but I still think there's value. I know Hitman passed on it. I don't see a situation where 7 don't get drafted, guys. Hopefully it doesn't come down to 32 overall with the Lions having to pick Dotson. But again, I see 7. I see 8 legitimate first-round prospects. And I think at least 7 will get drafted. So give me wide receivers over 6.5 in the first round.
What's the juice on that?
Minus 110.
Minus 110. Dangles, pick number 4.
Well, I flip-flopped here between this being my best bet and my best bet being my best bet. But I'm much more confident about my best bet, and that's what you want to be your best bet. So I'm going to go for my fourth pick with the total safeties drafted in round one under 1.5. This is plus 200. Are we really convinced that a team is going to take Lewis Cine down the stretch? He's not going in the top 5. I just don't see a team making that investment in a safety when there's other dire positions of need like offensive line and wide receiver and cornerback where you could, well, maybe not wide receiver, but cornerback where you could potentially go here. Kansas City and Green Bay do worry me a little bit down the stretch for this pick if they do decide to go with Lewis Cine from Georgia. But Kyle Hamilton's really the only guy that sticks out to me as a guarantee in this first round. So I'm going under 1.5 safeties in round one at plus 200.
The thing that scares me about that bet in particular, Dangles, is like when you're taking over under QBs or over under wide receivers, those positions are locked in. Safety and cornerback, there's some of these guys that can flip-flop in between. So is a guy like Daxton Hill considered a safety? Is he considered a cornerback?
He's considered a safety.
Yeah, it's tough.
I still think the pool. This is about what you're actually looking at in terms of the number of picks there could be versus what's actually there and the team needs. That's what I base this on. Is just who's going to take who I really think is going to take who, and I feel good that there's not going to be a run on another safety down the stretch. Not a lot of what I've read and did. So I saw Dax Hill climbing up into that first round. So I'm gonna ride with it. I'm gonna take it 1.5. At plus 200 under.
My pick number 4, which led into the pick I just made under 2.5 QBs, plus 190, Desmond Ridder. I love this guy, dude. The Cincinnati story, the come up of that team, and this guy seems to be the most game-ready QB in this NFL draft. The problem is he's not a first-round pick. He could get taken in the first round, but I'm going to sort of hedge it here and take Desmond Ridder over 28.5, selection number 28.5. So 29th or later for Desmond Ridder. That's minus 125. I love that bet. I don't think Matt Corral gets taken in the first round. I don't think Desmond Ridder gets taken in the first round. Desmond Ridder over 28.5 at minus 125. Big fan of that one. Schaefer the Sharp, bet number 4.
Guys, I'm going to stick with the receivers here. And even though I don't have this guy in my first round of the 7 that got selected, I think he's going to be an early second round pick. Way under his number at 59.5. We're going to go Roll Tide, Alabama. John Metchie. His over-under is 59.5 draft position, guys. He will sky under this. This is almost my best bet. Listen, everyone knows a Saban guy, the pedigree, but he was Alabama's best receiver all year until he got hurt, and then really the Jameson Williams show started. Williams was obviously a great deep threat, but he was the number 2 on that offense, make no mistake. Metchie, coming off a torn ACL, obviously you're going to have the rehab. He won't be ready to go to start the season. But I think whoever drafts him in the early to mid second rounds getting a steal. And I love under 59.5 for draft position. John Metchie.
What was that juice?
Straight up, minus 110.
All right, it's time to back up the Brinks truck for the NFL draft. Diggity dangles, what's your final pick, my guy?
Well, we talked about this this guy earlier. This is my bet. I said on the show earlier that, on our show with Hitman, that his advice locked this in for me. I'm going Kyle Hamilton over 10.5 draft position.
Nice.
That's at minus 115. As of the recording of this podcast on 420 Wednesday, here in our year of our Lord 2022. This isn't a slight. This isn't a slight against the potential of Kyle Hamilton. Right, 6'4". I mean, it was 40 time is a little bit questionable, but like this is a guy who I would love as a Devin McCourty successor. You know, Patriots scheme that loves to run three safeties. He plays down in the box. He's got a lot of versatility. But I just, like I've said, I don't think safety's posed enough upside for a top five pick. And then after that, you got Panthers, Giants, Falcons, Seahawks, and Jets. I think they've all got bigger fish to fry. The one team that scares me is the Falcons. But I think Arthur Smith, being an offensive guy, is probably more likely to go wide receiver if Garrett Wilson is there. But I love Kyle Hamilton outside the top 10. I think he's a perfect fit in Washington or in Minnesota. Maybe even in Baltimore if he stumbles a little bit. But I got him over 10.5 at minus 115.
Boys, my backup the Brinks truck bet is I wasn't even a difficult decision to put this here. I think this is a guarantee because every single mock that I've looked at, including the Ballerina's mock that'll come out on Monday, has this bet. Every single one. There is not a single mock draft I've seen. I've looked long and far and counted it up one by one, and every single mock draft hits this number. I know the SEC is the class of college football. The best NFL football players come from there. There is no denying it. Alabama, Georgia, LSU, stars upon stars upon stars. Yet their number right now for how many players get selected in the first round is juiced because it's a public place. Not a single mock draft has over 10.5 SEC players in the first round. So my backup the Brinks truck bet is following literally every trend you look at. Under 10.5 players from the SEC in the first round at plus 105. I love this bet, and I'm betting against the best, but I'm taking it and I'm running with it. Under SEC players 10.5 at plus 105. Back up that Brinks truck. Shafe of the Sharp, what do you got?
I am going to a familiar place, boys. And what did Hitman say? What did Hitman say? He said, we needed to not, don't be afraid, little one. Don't be afraid. Fear not. You can pay the juice. The juice is worth the squeeze in the NFL draft. It's going to happen, okay? And we have talked. We have argued. Unfortunately, this is going to involve Dangles to lose one of his bets. But my best bet that will happen, Dax Hill is going in the first round, okay? He is absolutely going in the first round. Now, to win this bet, you're going to have to pay $1.60. It's minus 160. I will give that out. I bet this with my hard-earned money. And here's a little hint. His draft position right now is 29.5. You can bet that under at minus 140. Over 29.5 is plus 110. And he still has two legit teams in the Lions and the Chiefs that could take him at 30 and 32. So I'm just paying the tax to be safe here. That's my backup the Brinks truck bet. A former five-star recruit, a former All-American. His brother plays for the Ravens. Great bloodlines. He's a stud. He can play slot. He can play free safety. Dax Hill, go blue. Back up that Brinks truck.
Bet with your heart, not your head. Oh, wait a minute. No, is that right?
That is it for how to bet the NFL draft. For Schaefer the Sharp, Drew Schaefer, Crookson, Matthew Dangles, D'Angelo Antonio. My name is Tony Cavallo. Again, on Monday, we will have the Ballerina's Big Board. And then on Thursday, April 28th, a week from today, hopefully when you listen to this and hopefully we get it out in time, is the NFL draft. I cannot wait for it. And we'll be back next week. We got to figure out what we're talking about, but I know it might involve a male enhancement product. That's all for today, and thank you for listening.
Dub C to the G, West Coast Gamblers.
I'm Ken Harbaugh, host of Warriors in Their Own Words, a podcast that presents the unvarnished, unsanitized truth of what we have asked of those who defend this nation. As a country, we need these stories more than ever. Stories from Americans who have borne the battle, including 30-year-old remastered interviews with veterans from World War I recounting their time in the trenches of Europe, and with veterans from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and from our most recent conflicts in Iraq, Afghanistan, and other battlefields Americans may never have heard of. Hear their stories by listening to Warriors in Their Own Words wherever you find podcasts.